Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me as I continue on in a message, The Church, a Living Organism. And as we closed yesterday's broadcast, we were looking at a passage found in 2 Samuel, the 24th chapter, where God commissioned David not to build the temple, but his son Solomon was to build the temple. And David, nonetheless, though, made great preparations for its building. He provided gold and silver and iron and stone in abundance. But he did everything he could to, when those directions were given to his son Solomon, that he would have at least a certain ample provision to begin the work. And so, beloved, we obviously are not building a house today that is made with hands, but we're building the body of Christ. There are yet many that have never heard the gospel message, many perhaps even in our own neighborhood that have not known the name of Jesus. They were raised, they've grown to be adults, and they weren't in a church family. Their parents didn't believe in God, or regardless, or they've fallen away, they've backslid. God is, by the Holy Spirit, He said He would pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. He would do that, even the wicked, so that God would be judged faithful and true and just, because they will also have the opportunity to accept Jesus, the most wicked man or woman on earth. Why? Because if they continue to refuse, God will be just in the decree that He will judge them with, because they had opportunity and refused to follow. No, and that would, God would be unjust if there was not given an opportunity. And so that Holy Spirit is being poured out upon all flesh. We are in the last days, the end times, and the time is short. We don't know, and it's not our place to know. Jesus said, only the Father in heaven knows that time when He was with the disciples. That's what He told them. And so it's not for us to know that day, but we can tell by the times and seasons that we're living in, certainly the end times. Any of you who are in your 70s, 80s, 90s, you have seen the radical transformation of society and the world in your lifetime. So what we can do is we can do whatever God, and you might say, well, Sister Glass, I'm up in years and I'm not able to get around like I used to. Yes, God knows that. He's not unreasonable. But whatever season you are in your life, you might be quite young, just starting out in life, or you could be advanced in years and perhaps have raised a family or whatever the situation may be, but you nonetheless have purpose. Don't ever feel that your purposeful time has come to an end. You know, I was sharing with some friends the other day, so often they've done studies. Men who retire from a working career, unless they have some activity, something to fulfill their life's purpose at that point in time, they die. They don't live very long. Why? Because we are created that way. We're made for purpose. God wants, and many other things, but that's another message. We are created for a sense of focus and purpose. It brings us joy because we now have something we're headed for. We love the Lord, and when He gives us a focus, just like Solomon, he began his earthly reign, his ministry, if you will, with a command to build the temple of God. So we can assist, we can prepare and wait before God for His directions in terms of our contribution to the body of Christ. Obviously, we can't build the body of Christ in and through ourselves. There's no one, I don't care how great they are, no one person can do it. But the Lord himself must build it. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. But we can be the gold, the silver, the iron, and every resource needed made available to him to build his temple, his house, a living tabernacle, if you please, the body of Christ, the house, the church, the tabernacle of the living God, not made with hands. And for Solomon, the directions were very specific. The house must be stately and strong and beautiful, and it was. Everything about it had to be the best in its kind, since it was intended for the honor of the Lord of the whole earth. And it was to be the spiritual symbol of Christ, in whom all fullness dwells, and in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The grandeur of the house would help to affect the worshipers with a sense of holy awe and reverence for God. And of course, it would certainly invite strangers to come and see the glory of the Lord. So, 1 Chronicles states that David commanded Solomon to set his mind and heart to seek, to inquire of, and to require as his vital necessity the Lord his God. And we can see God move and build this house, that what he's doing today, God has provided so many opportunities in small nations of the world, places that have never heard the gospel. Thank God for the missionaries. We need to pray for them and those that are willing to live on foreign soil to see the gospel promulgated and to be a witness to the life and truth of Jesus Christ. Praise God. This house that the Lord is building is a house of honor, a house that brings glory to Jehovah God. And in Isaiah 58:10-12, it says, actually, it's talking about a fast, but he said, if you pour out that which you sustain your own life with for the hungry and satisfy the need of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in darkness and your obscurity and gloom be as the noonday, and the Lord shall guide you continually and satisfy you in drought and in dry places and make strong your bones. And you shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And your ancient ruins, what are those places, those devastated, desolate places that you never wanted to go back to because it seemed just a ruin and a waste? Well, God has a way of redeeming everything. They shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of building that have laid waste for many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets to dwell in, beloved. And as I said, beloved, although this is in the context of fasting, that is something we all need to do. I remember years ago I preached on that subject because God has given me a ministry through the years of my life of fasting regularly. And to the capacity that God wants you to, in other words, not only the length, but the type. I mean, you may, at this point physically, you may not be able to withhold yourself from food. It may be necessary for you medically, but you are able to fast other things you enjoy doing. You know, spend an extra hour in prayer, or turn off the television, or do whatever thing, or fast sweets, or something that is pleasurable. If you really love coffee, yeah, I know, you could give that up too for the Lord. I've done that for extended periods of time, and I do love a good cup of coffee. So, beloved, it's just the spirit. It's the willingness to deny ourselves for the sake of the Lord's cause. And so God's favor, beloved, will satisfy your needs. He will put gladness in your heart and a refreshing rain in your spirit. Sometimes you feel just so worn out and weary. You've been walking in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, a sun-scorched land of battles and trials that seem never ending. Beloved, I know. I sympathize and can relate. That's all I need to say. But he will strengthen your whole frame, your whole being. He will give you that strength, just like the bones of your body support your flesh. He will support you in your testing and in your weakness. You will be like a well-watered garden, fruitful in the graces, and like a spring whose waters never fail, either in drought or in frost. And as a stream of water, though it is continually sending forth, it's always full. Isn't that true about streams? So the charitable man abounds in good as he abounds in doing good, and is never the poorer for his liberality. And I, you know, you hear that and you just think, oh, finances. No, it's true. Yes, finances. But what about time? Those who are willing to share their time, and for those who are busy, it's a real sacrifice. But they're doing it in the name of the Lord. And somehow, and if he's never poor for his liberality, that means somehow God can redeem the time and make it back up to you. I don't know how he's going to do that. I don't know, but I've just known that he's done it in my life. So in verse 12, God says they will rebuild their ancient ruins, which had been desolate. This was literally fulfilled when the captives, after their return from Babylon, repaired the cities of Judah. And many of those in Israel in those days were able to see that God was true to his word, that they would raise up the age-old foundations, which took many years to build. They would finish that good work which was began long ago. And this temple was fulfilled, or this command was literally fulfilled, when the building of the temple was revived after it had stood desolate for many years. And that's Ezra, the 5th chapter, verse 2. I don't have time to read it now, but nonetheless, we will continue on tomorrow with this message. And I just so look forward to spending this time with you every day. And should you miss a broadcast or want to re-listen, go to our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can click on the broadcast, and they are archived there for your listening convenience. I love you, my UCM partners, my radio family. I pray for you every day. And if the Lord's moving on you, then don't ignore that prompting. He has a reason for doing it. And as I share from time to time, there was a lady who listened for 25 years, and finally she actually wrote, and she's so precious in the Lord. She does write now regularly. I'm not promising that of you, but if you have a prayer need, I invite you to write. I love you. Thank God for you. Pray for you every day. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.